The members, please indicate their presence by voting. Madam Clerk, would you please tally the board?
25 members present.
Believe it or not, we do have a quorum present to conduct business. Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam Speaker, may the record reflect, as it already is beginning to do, that the following representatives are excused from a call to the House today. Representative Kukesh, Croft, Osterman, Bundy, Dyson, Nicolai, Berkowitz, and Barnes.
The record will reflect those members being excused. Leading the invocation today is Reverend Wayne Coggins, Cornerstone Family Ministries. Will the members please rise for the invocation?
Thank you, Lord, for the blessing and privilege of praying this past week with the men and women in this chamber. I ask that you would bless them with wisdom for their work here in Juneau, and bless them and their families in the lives they lead apart from politics. Together, we offer up a prayer that your presence and peace would be especially close to the families in Jonesboro, Arkansas, as they grieve their incredible losses. As a nation, Father, we pray that our eyes would be open to discover the forces at work in our young people that would allow such a tragedy to happen. May each of us search our hearts and commit to do all we can possibly do to instill in the budding generations of Alaskans a value and respect for human life. May we have the courage and consistency to lead them in the most powerful way, by example. Finally, Lord, I pray that as this session is now heading into the home stretch, and the difficult issues are being funneled ever closer to their hour of decision, that you would clearly guide these legislators to make the right choices for the people of Alaska. Amen.
Thank you, Reverend Coggins. Representative Williams, would you please lead us in the pledge?
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The members, please remain standing, Representative Ivan.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Yesterday, on March 26th, a tragedy occurred in my area, and I'd like to inform the body. Some of you may have heard of this incident, but yesterday at about 1:30 in the morning, the Alaska State Troopers in Bethel were notified of a homicide in Quinhagak. The Quinhagak Tribal Police reported that a 13-year-old male juvenile had entered his residence at approximately 0100 hours and shot and killed his mother, Diane Sharp. She was 51 years old of Quinhagak while she slept. The juvenile then reportedly shot his father, John Sharp, 50 years old, also of Quinhagak, who was asleep in the residence. Mr. Sharp was able to get the weapon away from his son. There was also a 9-year-old and a 10-year-old male juvenile in the residence who were not injured. The response to the village was hampered by the inclement weather, but at approximately 08:50 hours on the same day, an Army National Guard helicopter transported medical personnel and troopers to Quinhagak from Bethel. Mr. Sharp was medevaced to Bethel and is reportedly in stable condition. The weapon utilized in the shooting was reportedly a .22 caliber rifle. Alaska State Troopers from Bethel, along with the Alaska State Troopers Criminal Investigation Bureau, Department of Public Safety Lab personnel, and Quinhagak Tribal Police are coordinating investigation to this incident. And the Bethel DFYS is attempting to respond to Quinhagak to provide family support. And at this time, Madam Speaker, I request a moment of silence and ask this body to help us in providing condolences and prayer to the family and community of Quinhagak as they address this tragic incident.
The members, please stand for a moment of silence.
Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Hudson.
Madam Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the prayer be spread across the journal.
Without objection, the prayer will be spread across the journal. Will the clerk please certify the journal for the previous legislative day?
I certify the correctness of the journal for the 74th legislative day.
Mr. Majority Leader?
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I'd move and ask unanimous consent that the House Journal, as certified by the Chief Clerk, be approved.
Without objection, the House Journal stands approved. Mr. Majority Leader?
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I would move and ask unanimous consent that we take up as a special order of business at this time the citation for Curtis L. Coutel. It is on the member's desk in order to make a timely presentation and make it.
Motion before the body is to take up a citation as a special order of business at this time. Is there objection? Without objection, Mr. Majority Leader?
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I'd move the citation.
Without objection, that citation is adopted. Representative Roepberg?
That all members of the body be shown as sponsors of the
without objection.
Thank you.
This brings us to introduction of guests. Do we have guests for introduction today? Representative Grusendorf.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Speaker. In the Taylor Gallery is a former student of mine and friend who is working and lobbying in behalf of the blind and other disabilities. Bill Craig, would you help me welcome here to Juneau?
Further guests for introduction, Representative Elton.
Thanks, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, two guests for introduction today, and one a very special guest. Serving as a guest page to my right is Kelsey Skaggs. Kelsey's an avid reader. She loves horses. She loves sailing. She loves dancing. She's homeschooled. She's a 9-year-old. But, Madam Speaker, I think we've all had some contact with Kelsey here more recently in the past in another role that she played. She sold 1,054 boxes of Girl Scout cookies this year. Now, Madam Speaker, I started to add up. I think that's in the neighborhood of something like 2.6 million calories. And Madam Speaker, I would like the body to help us recognize her accomplishment and give her a warm welcome this morning here on the floor.
And
then, Madam Speaker, one of the two people that helped produce such a wonderful daughter is in the gallery behind me, Bev Skaggs, Kelsey's mother.
Representative, Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I would like to introduce in the gallery behind me a friend and a constituent and an individual who has considerable influence with at least one representative of the media here in Juneau, Maria Vargas.
Further guests for introduction? This brings us down the calendar to messages. Do we have messages from the governor?
I have no messages from the governor, Madam Speaker.
And messages from the other body?
Message dated March 26th stating the Senate has passed CS for Senate Bill 284, State Affairs, by the Senate State Affairs Committee entitled An Act Relating to Cruelty to Animals, and it's transmitted for consideration.
That'll be referred to somewhere. Judiciary Committee.
I have no further messages from the other body, Madam Speaker.
Reports of communications?
There are no communications.
Reports of standing committees?
The Labor and Commerce Committee has considered House Bill 319, Employees, No Expectation of Privacy, recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 319, Labor and Commerce, with the same title, attaches a zero fiscal note, recommending do pass. Roepberg, no recommendation. Caldery, Sanders, Kabina, Hudson, and Ryan. The report was signed by Roepberg, Chair. House Bill 319 has a further referral to the Judiciary Committee. The Finance Committee has considered committee substitute for Senate Bill 157, Finance, Children's Trust License Plates, recommending do pass. Davies, Grusendorf, and Moses, do not pass. Davis, no recommendation. Terrio, Martin, and Kelly, amend Coring. The report was signed by Terrio, co-chair. CSSB 157, Finance, has no further referral. Finance Committee has considered committee substitute for Senate Bill 221, Finance, negatively amortizing loans, recommends it be replaced with House Committee substitute for committee substitute for Senate Bill 221, Finance, with the same title, recommending do pass. Terrio, Martin, Davies, Grusendorf, Coring, Davis, and Moses. No recommendation, Kelly. The report was signed by Terrio, co-chair. CSSB 221, Finance, has no further referral. I have no further standing committee reports, Madam Speaker.
Reports of special committees?
There are no special committees.
Introduction of citations and resolutions.
Honoring Nick and Lucille Juan Gutillion by Representative Foster. Honoring Kathy Duncan, 1997 Governor's Award Small Business Employer of the Year by Senator Torgerson. In Memoriam, Clinton Gray Sr. by Representative Foster. House Concurrent Resolution Number 33 by the House Rules Committee relating to the allocation of Alaska salmon.
That'll be referred to the House Special Committee on Fisheries.
I have no further citations or resolutions for introduction.
Bills today for introduction.
House Bill 474 by the House Judiciary Committee entitled An Act Relating to Correctional Officers.
That'll be referred to the Judiciary Committee.
I have no further bills for introduction, Madam Speaker.
Brings us down to consideration of the daily calendar. Would the clerk please read the first item on today's calendar?
House Bill 467 by the House Rules Committee entitled An Act Relating to Employees of the Legislature Who Are Employed Under a Personal Services Contract. The Finance Committee considered the bill attached to fiscal note and a zero fiscal note, recommending due pass Terry O'Hanley, Mulder, Martin, Coring, Davis, Kelly, and Foster. No recommendation, Davies. The report was signed by Terry O'Hanley, co-chairs. I have no amendments on my desk, Madam Speaker.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I'd move and ask unanimous consent that HB 467 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Without objection, we're in third. Would the clerk please read the title?
House Bill 467. The House Rules Committee entitled An Act Relating to Employees of the Legislature Who Are Employed Under a Personal Services Contract.
Debate. Representative Cott.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I can go on and on about this. I think everyone has been provided a sponsor statement. The basic purpose of legislation is to provide the Legislative Affairs Agency an option in hiring legislative employees using a personal services contract and to eliminate the requirement for them to be associated attached to the PERS system. This became a real problem this year when we tried to hire our chief of security. With our requirements being as stringent as they are as far as being qualified for the position, it really calls upon us to hire a retired police officer. And of course, they're already associated with PERS, and to get into the PERS system again, they would have to give up their previous PERS as it was given to them as they retired. And since this is for a temporary position, there's not too many that are willing to do that, and I can't blame them. In other cases, we have temporary or non-permanent employees associated with the Capitol insofar as the Capitol guides and the laborers that load the vans. They are also assigned to the PERS system, and most of those, if not everyone, do not use the PERS system. They are hired on for a short period of time. Most of them are students, especially your Capitol guides. The money is subtracted from their check, and when they leave the service after the summer period, they more than likely withdraw that money. They pay a penalty, a tax penalty, because it was non-tax when it went in, and there's another penalty for early withdrawal. So, Madam Speaker, we're trying to eliminate this burdensome requirement of LAA to put all these folks into the PERS system. It is a cost savings measure. We'll save some time and energy. Again, the accounting aspects will be eliminated. So, Madam Speaker, there was no opposition from anyone in the state. This does not affect any current employee. And I would ask all the members to rise and support this one. Thanks.
Further debate? Ready for the question? Question being, shall the House adopt House Bill 467? Members, please proceed to vote. Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Clerk, please tally the board.
32 yeas, 0 nays.
And so House Bill 467 does pass the House. Clerk, please read the next item on today's calendar.
House Joint Resolution 52 by Representatives James, Barnes, Terrio, and Osterman relating to opposition to the designation of any rivers in Alaska as American Heritage Rivers under the American Heritage Rivers Initiative. The Resources Committee considered the resolution attached to zero fiscal note, recommending due pass Dyson, Williams, Green, Barnes, Massick, Ogun, Hudson, and Jewell. The report was signed by Hudson and Ogun co-chairs. I have no amendments on my desk, Madam Speaker.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I'd move and ask unanimous consent that HCR 52 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Without objection, we're in third. Would the clerk please read the title?
House Joint Resolution 52 by Representatives James, Barnes, Terrio, and Osterman relating to opposition to the designation of any rivers in Alaska as American Heritage Rivers under the American Heritage Rivers Initiative.
Debate, Representative James.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. This resolution before us here is to resist and also support Congressman Chenoweth's efforts to reverse the executive order that was May Heritage Rivers Initiative in the United States. It sounds like a good idea. The idea was, of course, to once we nominated and chose these rivers that we wanted to be identified as American Heritage Rivers, then we could get some funds for helping to clean up the rivers. Madam Speaker, I want to make it perfectly clear. I have nothing against cleaning up our rivers. I think that is a good plan and a good thing that we should be thinking about. But we certainly don't want any other federal identification laying over the top of our lands and especially our rivers here in Alaska. We've had experiences with these just in the recent past and are still having some ongoing distress about this issue. I want to make this very brief because I think most everyone understands this issue. Be happy to answer any questions if anyone has any or give extensive examples of why it's a good idea to resist this effort. But I just want to leave it at that and urge everyone to vote in support of this resolution.
Debate. Representative Ogun.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I rise in strong support of this legislation. In fact, I just sent in my endorsement as a co-signer. This was talked about quite a bit at the Western States Coalition in Spokane last year. I believe that the American Heritage Rivers Initiative is a further erosion of our state's sovereign rights over what is widely recognized in case law and the public trust doctrine as a state right to manage its navigable waters, and urge members to support and vote for this legislation.
Further debate? Ready for the question? Question being, shall the House adopt House Joint Resolution number 52? Members, please proceed to vote. Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Clerk, please tally the board.
30 yeas, 2 nays.
And so House Joint Resolution number 52 passes the House. Mr. Majority Leader, next item on today's calendar.
We have a citation on today's calendar.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the citations on today's calendar be approved.
Without objection, the citation on today's calendar is approved. Brings us down the calendar to unfinished business. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the members of the House go into the limbo file in order that we may consider Committee Substitute HB 461 Finance.
Without objection, we're in the limbo file. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. The representative who is the co-chair of Finance from District 12 will explain the Senate amendments.
Mm-hmm. Representative Hanley.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. People remember this was the fast-track supplemental. We were trying to get some of the more important things through in the budget. Pretty much the Senate, excuse me, the other body left the bill we passed, the things we had in it alone, and they added a few things. I would note the first thing they added was a change in federal funds and fish and game funds for a shooting range in Fairbanks. While it was not in the fast-track supplemental, this was in the slower supplemental that the governor had requested, so it is not, I guess some would argue it's not as necessary to be in the fast track, but it was requested by the governor as an original supplemental, so I don't see a particular problem with that. The next item that was added by the other body and the changes that were made was a supplemental for the defense of the tort reform litigation. Because of an appearance of conflict, it's my understanding the Attorney General felt comfortable with outside counsel doing the litigation because of some of the testimony the AG had done on this bill. It's also my understanding this is the budget the Attorney General had worked up, so the $199,000 is put in the supplemental for outside counsel to defend the lawsuit on tort reform. There's another section dealing with the Perseverance Trail. If you remember last year in the supplemental, we had a lot of debate. The trail had washed out. We had put money in for the supplemental, and my understanding, and I think this is pretty good actually, is that volunteer help for the most part fix that trail. And a lot of credit goes to those folks that were willing to volunteer. The money was not needed to be spent to fix the trail. So in this portion, the $120,000 that was originally appropriated, $4,000 of it is reappropriated to repair some equipment that Parks did damage, apparently, in the fixing of that. And the other amount has been appropriated to the Batterers Program in the Council on Domestic Violence. I think many of you have heard about the program. There's been some controversy over it. My understanding is because it's added money to the program, it has relieved some of the pressure in the council on whether they have to fund this. So I think it's I've heard no opposition to the actual appropriation that's out there. The last change that was made, we had approved the federal funds to change the STIP and move up the time frame of doing the whole Glen Ellen to Toke resurfacing. The change that the Senate, excuse me, the other body made, merely specifically identified the match. In last year's capital budget, we started a process of trying to put specific match dollars with each project so we could track them better. And in times when projects weren't done, we knew which match was freed up. And what they've tried to do here is just identify the specific match that will be utilized for this program. So there's really no change in the process. The money still was going to be used for the same. It just specifically identifies it. So those are the changes, Madam Speaker, to the supplemental as we passed it, additions. And I think they all generally make sense, and I would encourage people to support them.
Representative Rice.
Madam Speaker, I would ask to be excused from voting due to a direct conflict of interest.
Representative Rice, you will be required to vote. Representative Elton. Representative Elton.
Thanks, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, I'm going to vote for the bill as it came back to us. I just want to correct a slight misunderstanding. The reason that the City and Borough of Juneau did not accept the Perseverance Trail money was not because there aren't additional needs. There are additional needs that can't be met by $120,000, even by $1 million. But the reason the City and Borough of Juneau did not accept the money is because of ongoing questions of who accepts liability once the work is done. Those questions still need to be resolved, and I look forward to working with other members of the body on trying to resolve that issue so that we can do the work that is necessary. Also want to say that the chair of House Finance was exactly right. The community did a great job of finding some volunteer help to fix some of the immediate problems with the trail.
Further debate? Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I would move that the House concur with the Senate amendments to HGR 29, thus adopting the Senate committee substitute for HGR 29 rules, and recommend that the members vote yes.
461.
I'm sorry, 461.
Motion before the body is for the House to concur in the changes made by the Senate and committee substitute for House Bill 461. Ready for the question? Members, please proceed to vote. Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Clerk, please tally the board.
31 yeas, 1 nay.
And so the House has concurred in the Senate changes. Thus, Senate CS for House Bill 461 Finance is adopted. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I'd move and ask unanimous consent for the roll call vote on Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for HB 461 Finance be considered the roll call vote on the effective date.
Without objection, the effective date clause is adopted. Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam Speaker. I would move and ask unanimous consent that the members of the House go into the limbo file in order that we may consider HJR 29.
Without objection, we are in the limbo file. Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam Speaker, the member from District 3 will explain the amendments from the other body.
Representative Elton.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I'll just be very brief. There are two technical changes that were made to the resolution on the other side. The first change is on page 1, lines 6 and 7. And it substitutes a number of new diagnoses of prostate cancer is estimated at 209,900 for this year, for 1998. That substitutes for an estimate in 1997 and essentially updates the bill. The second change, Madam Speaker, is on page 2, line 4. And the amended resolution deletes a reference to a date that was a 1997 date. That date no longer stands because we're in 1998. The amendments that were made were rational amendments that updated the resolution, and I would encourage a yes vote.
Majority Leader.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the House concur with the Senate amendments to H.G.R. 26, thus adopting the Senate committee substitute for H.G.R. 26 rules, and recommend that the members vote yes.
Debate. Question before the body. Shall the House concur and the Senate changes? And House Joint Resolution number 29. Members, please proceed to vote. Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Clerk, please tally the board.
32 yeas, 0 nays.
And so the House has concurred and the Senate changes. House Joint Resolution number 29. Mr. Majority Leader.
Nothing further.
I'll stand at ease. Further unfinished business? Committee announcements? Representative Green.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I would like to announce that we will be taking testimony on the subsistence issue, but it won't be a function of the Judiciary Committee. Starting at 1 o'clock, it will be in the Judiciary Room for public testimony for people who won't be able to attend or give testimony on Monday when we will take it as testimony to the committee. So this is not a committee function. Anybody who wants to be there can. It's just going to be taking testimony as a convenience to the public.
Representative Roper.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. The Labor and Commerce Committee will meet at 3:15 today, and we will be taking up several bills which we received committee substitutes on, so I hope we get good attendance and be able to move that legislation. Thank you.
I'll stand at ease. Order. Representative Green, could you give us a clarification, please?
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Madam Speaker, boy, this is not a good day. Madam Speaker, my prior announcement, apparently I got my tongue, I washed it this morning and I can't do a thing with it. I was talking about this afternoon. What we're really going to talk about is we will take testimony Saturday. We may be able to today start taking some testimony, and if so, we'll continue over. Otherwise, we will continue on Saturday, but it won't be a committee function.
Thank you. Mr. Minority Leader, House stand at ease. Next order, further committee announcements. Representative Terrio.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. The House Finance Committee meeting for tomorrow will be moved from 10 a.m. because of the Majority Caucus to 2 in the afternoon. We will be hearing House Bill 380 and hopefully final action on House Bill 28. The meeting doesn't necessarily have to take very long. So.
Please. Further committee announcements? Regular announcements? Mr. Majority Leader?
And it was already made that there will be a Majority Caucus tomorrow at 10 a.m.
Representative Veazey?
Thank you, Madam Speaker.
Madam Speaker, I move that, if I can find it, somewhere
on
my
desk. Just anyone, Representative Veazey. Any number will do.
I move that House Joint Resolution number 1, an act changing the term of the legislature to 90 days, be withdrawn from committee.
There is opposition. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Procedural.
Representative Veazey.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I would just remind the body that we really ought to bring this bill to the
floor for a vote. And think about it, if you would, if this was part of the Constitution and stay elected today, in 2 weeks we'd be going home for Easter. We wouldn't be coming back.
Motion before the body is to withdraw House Joint Resolution number 1 from committee. Members, please proceed to vote. Gremlins at work. Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Representative Ogun?
Madam Speaker, very regretfully, yea to nay.
Does any other member wish to change his or her vote? Clerk, please lock the roll and tally the board.
3 yeas, 23 nays.
And so House Joint Resolution number 1 is not withdrawn from committee. Special announcements? Special orders? Representative Jewell.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Talk on Chapter 5.
Without objection, you have the floor.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. This week, Chapter 5 is a chapter on celebration. We started by skinning the boats, getting the equipment and the crew ready, chasing and catching the whales, and cutting it up. This week is a celebration. And boy, what a time it is in the community of Point Hope. The celebration, the schedule of the celebration, is done by the captain who catches the first whale of the season. And that is usually somewhere around the first 2 weeks in June. And it's during this time that we have 24-hour sunlight. And so in addition to preparing for many, many visitors from all over the state who will come to participate in the feast, there's a whole bunch of other activities coming on. And if you'll remember, in the first chapter, I talked about skinning the boat and how the Ugaruk, the bearded seal, was caught the spring before. It's at this time of the year that people are in harvesting activities. They're already thinking about the year ahead. And the bearded seal and the walrus are there. And in the long nights prior to and often during the celebration, people are also continuing to harvest other sea mammals. One of the things, before I get into the actual celebration, that people don't often know of the Inupiaq Society is that that we don't have a clan structure. Point Hope is one of the few communities that still does. And it really plays out within the whaling celebration. There's the Akagamaktuks and the Ungisiksigaks. My family comes from the Ungisiksigak. That's the clan that I belong to. Each clan has their own karagi, their ceremonial grounds. And this is where the whaling feast occurs. And the karagis are situated on each side of the town. Now, the night before the first day of the feast, the signal that people will often get as to when the feast occurs is that the boats that caught the whales, the successful boats, will be positioned up on the beach. The paddles will be up. That's to signify all of the successful crews. On the first day, the captains and their crews will ceremoniously put their boats to their karagis. First one side, and when that side puts their boats up, the crews, especially the women, are extremely busy at this time, because for everybody who comes over, they serve coffee and tea and donuts. But the other thing that they serve is mikiyak. Now, mikiyak is the whale meat and thin strips of muktuk that is allowed to ferment. And this is done over a period of time, and it's watched very carefully. They do this in usually wooden kegs. And I have to tell you, my first experience with this, because I remember it very clearly. I went up to Point Hope with my grandfather, and this day, these people were coming along, and it really doesn't look that great if you don't know what it is. And they take it out of the containers, and it kind of drips. and Dad plate was out there right now, and he said, "You better put your plate out there." And I said, "No way." He said, why? I said, because that stuff looks really awful. And Dad said, well, if you're not going to get it for yourself, then you get it for me. So, reluctantly, I put my plate out there, and this stuff just kind of oozed on my plate and then spread. I thought I might have to kill it again. But when it was being placed on my plate, there was a piece of muktuk, and I love muktuk. And I thought, I've got to try this. I mean, I'm going to eat the muktuk. And I put that little piece of muktuk in my mouth. And my dad was really sorry because he wasn't watching. Because this mikigak, through the fermentation process, gets really a tangy, almost like a sweet and sour taste. As unappealing as it may look, boy, is it good. And this is done the first day. The second day of the feast, those boats of the successful whaling captains, early in the morning, the crews get out and they put the boats on their side to create a windbreak. And then the captains, their wives, and their crews come in with kegs of more mikigak and the avatruk, the flipper, still intact. And also they come in with akutuk, which is Eskimo ice cream. And if there have been more, oh, I'll back up just a second. That first day, when that's done on one side, if there have been other whales caught in the other karagi, the other clan, this whole thing is repeated on the other side. The second day, as the whaling captains and his wife and his crew gather with this food out in front of them, the people sit inside this windbreak. And it gets to be a lot of fun because sometimes you might see two, three, four whaling captains standing out there ready. And you watch the crews because they bring their tools with them and they slice probably about an inch thick the flippers. And they're cutting and they're cutting and the anticipation is starting to build up. And generally the captain will make some sort of a presentation to the people that are gathered there. And then they start to call people out by name. They'll call their relatives, their close friends, other whaling captains. Whaling captains that weren't successful, their wives, their crews. But they don't do this one at a time. The whaling captains and their wives, if there were four whales caught, you have four sets of people being called to accept this gift, this avarok. So you have to listen very carefully. They do it by relatives, by namesake, cross extended relations, and then they get to the point where after a while they're doing it by village, and all of this is going on if there are four whales caught all at once. So you pay attention. And as your name is called or your village is called, as you accept that piece of avarok, as you walk away, the proper acceptance is to take a small bite out of the corner. And after this, they pass out more mikigak and enjoy more akutuk. And by the way, my wife calls it aguduk, but that's because that's another story. But this carries on for that day, and it's really a day that's filled with a lot of joy because everybody is called. They miss nobody. And the men, the women, and the crews, those that are participating out there in that staged area, are dressed in their finest clothes. Brand new parkas are made. Brand new mukluks are made specifically for this occasion. Usually, the crews that are working are dressed in their whites, their camo, normal hunting gear. But they're dressed in their finest. The third day is and I back up again. Once they finish on one side, that second day, then they repeat the whole thing on the other side. On the third day of the whaling feast, you can look forward to more feasting and food of all sorts brought, stews and more akutuk, more mikiyuk, and donuts. But, you know, it's a real joyous time. And after we visit, after we've eaten all of this wonderful food, then there's Eskimo dancing. The crews and the captains get out and dance for their communities. People from the crowd and visiting areas get out and join them. And then finally, Nalukatap, blanket toss. This is a lot of fun and something I've got just a little bit of experience in. But here, at one point, and on each karagi, they would have whale bones, four corners. And they would take the uguruk skins that they use for the nalukatak, and they would tie them to these corners so that they're up quite high. And this would be stationary. And first they would toss the successful captains and some of their crews, and then others. You know, there's a couple of different theories about how the blanket toss got started. Some say to throw people up in the air so they could see the game. But one that I know to be true for sure during this time is when a woman gives birth to a male, to a son, during the interim, between whaling season, between whaling celebrations. She will get on the blanket and get tossed. And when she gets up in the air, the elders come around the skin, and she throws gifts to the elders when she's flying. And this is in the hopes that her son will grow up to be a successful whaler. And this is something that we only have one son in our family, but we were fortunate enough to go through the same experience. And that's something that he's been doing for the last 6 years, and 10 years, and hopefully he'll continue to do this. But this is a time of community, of sharing, of bringing people together, and understanding that we have a place in this universe, and we can be together as we go through these celebrations. That everything that is put on this earth is a gift, and together we can enjoy all of those things. It's a very special time of the year. And as these celebrations draw near, we use every means necessary and available to get the word out, because we want everyone to come and join. And Madam Speaker, if we're blessed this whaling season to catch, or maybe more properly said, if the whales will take their parkies off for someone, that if the opportunity arises before we leave, I'd like to let you know and maybe get in touch with you as to when the dates get set. That should you be able to attend a festival such as this, there's a richness there, not just in the food. And and that's chapter 5. Thank you.
Further special orders? Mr. Majority Leader.
I'll reserve comment on the taste. Madam Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the House stand in adjournment until 11 a.m. Monday, March 30th.
You're adjourned till 11 a.m. Monday. Reggie.